Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, the one we worship with all the saints and angels of heaven this holy day. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, John 21, the disciples fishing. Jesus comes with breakfast. Let us pray. Lord, open our ears, open our minds and our hearts. May our hearts be fertile ground for your holy word. Dig your word deep in our hearts that it produce great fruit in us, faith, joy, hope, peace, the fullness of the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe in miracles? Who believes in miracles? Signs from God. Of course we do. The Bible is full of miracles, signs from God. And over the last 2,000 years, God continues to do miracles and various signs. And in the gospel lesson today, John 21, we have the last miracle, the last sign of Jesus given in John's gospel. Therefore, it is very, very, very important. John chapter 21, Christ died, Christ rose, there's salvation. And now in John 21, as he finishes up, he gives us one final appearance, one final sign of Jesus. Very important. In John's gospel, signs and miracles have great, great significance. Don't have time for all of that. But in John's gospel, there are, if you will, a total of 10 signs or miracles. Now, John goes on to say that if everything was recorded about Jesus, if every miracle and every teaching was recorded, you'd have books to fill the whole world. So John, by the Spirit, has selected 10 to share with us. The first one you know, he changes water to wine. He heals the official's son is 2. He heals the man paralyzed by the pool is 3. He feeds the 5,000 4. He opens the eyes of a blind man 5. He raises who from the dead? Lazarus from the dead is 6. 7, the great number of God, the perfect number, is Jesus' own resurrection. And then after Jesus rises, there are 3 more signs, if you will, and they are appearances of Jesus, his disciples. The 8th is when he appears to the disciples Easter evening. By the way, John tells us it's the 3rd time he appeared, so we're supposed to count back, obviously. So the 8th sign is he appears to the disciples Easter evening. Number 9, he appears to who a week later? Thomas. And now the 10th sign is he appears on the shore. And 10 is always a number of completion, fullness. Everything's full. Everything's complete with the number 10. And so this sign is the complete, full miracle and sign of God for the church until we reach the end of the age. John's point is this. This sign that Jesus does here is an ongoing sign. It's the ongoing miracle we are to look for. God does miracles. God does signs. What are they? John 21 is the ongoing miracle and sign of God until the last day. John 21 has happened for 2,000 years in the church, in the world. John 21 happens today at First Lutheran. It better happen. And John 21 will happen all the way to the end of the age. Everything is complete and full as John 21, that miracle happens. What happens? 2 things happen. These things ever happen in the church, and they will to the end. May they happen at First Lutheran in abundance. 2 things happen. There is fishing, and there is feeding. That's the continuing sign. Fishing and feeding. May these things ever happen until the Lord returns. First of all, there is fishing. One continuous miracle by the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit is the church will fish and fish and fish and fish. And what are we fishing for? We're fishing for lost souls. We will fish and fish, and by a miracle of Jesus, by a miracle of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, by a great miracle, will we catch some? Yes. We will catch many. For a while, they don't catch anything. There are times the church doesn't seem like it catches anything. Then we will catch an abundance of lost souls. We are sad that 3/4 of the world approximately doesn't believe in Jesus. They're all lost fish in the lake of darkness out there. We have a mission to get in the boat and go out and catch them. But how we praise God that at least about 1/4 of the world is saved. It's a miracle. We're all walking, sitting miracles right now. We've been caught by the net of the gospel. We've been caught by the grace of Jesus. We have faith. We're baptized. And so many others. Wow, what a miracle of God's grace. This is an ongoing miracle. People will be caught. Fish will be caught. Lost souls will be saved. The gospel will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. That's the miracle. Nothing will stop Jesus from catching lost souls. A church is either a church that fishes, or a church is a church that wishes. Seems to me there are fishing churches and wishing churches. And what kind of church do we have? A lot of churches wish. We're very good at wishing. I sure wish more people out there would be saved. I sure wish the world would, you know, God's grace would get out there in that world. More baptisms, more people saved, more confirmations. I sure wish we could have a bigger impact. I sure wish things would happen and the love of God would go out. Boy, I sure wish all that would happen. I sure wish God would just have fish jump in the boat. I mean, the doors are open. I sure wish people just come in and be saved. Sure wish it would all happen. Wishing churches usually don't catch a whole lot. When you sit in the boat and do nothing, you don't catch a whole lot. There are fishing churches. Do the disciples fish in this text? Or do the fish jump into their boat while they are sleeping? They're hard at work. They work all night. They catch nothing. They're hard at work. They're dirty, smelly, fish-smelling disciples. They fish. And by the blessing of Jesus, they do catch 150, which is a large amount of fish. They can't even bring in the net, we're told. So many. Are we wishing or are we truly fishing? This text teaches us, gives us a really good model of the fishing of the church, this ongoing miracle of Jesus catching people through humble people like you and I. It would teach us who is to fish, who is to be a witness for Jesus. The answer is everybody. We're all Christians. We're all baptized. We all believe. We're all a witness in all that we say and do. Our life is a witness. No one can say, not me, not me. No, you're a fisherman too in your life and what God's called you to do. You are to be a light in the salt of the earth. John mentions that you have five disciples. It's kind of interesting to me how John writes things. And this is all by the Holy Spirit. And John says that who is in the boat? You have Peter in the boat. And you have... get to my text here. Simon Peter, Thomas too, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, who are they? James and John. Then he says two other disciples were together. Who are these two other disciples? Why doesn't John mention them? He mentions the other by name. Why not these two? I suggest this is John's way of pulling us into the story. You and I put our names in the story. You and I are the two other. We're supposed to go two by two. You and I are the other two in the story that are in the boat. We're out to catch fish. Everybody's involved. With what kind of attitude should we have as we go catch lost souls? Well, notice the attitude of Peter. This is mentioned too, a little detail. Peter says, I'm going fishing. And what's the attitude of the other guys? We'll go with you. Peter's not commanded to go fishing. They don't twist his arm. You got to go fishing, Peter. There's no demands. There's no commands. It's, I'm going to go fishing. We'll go with you. Now, this is the attitude of the church. We are compelled by the resurrection. We're compelled by Jesus' love to say, I'm going to go fishing when I leave. I don't have to. It's not a must. It's not a demand. But I want to go fish for lost souls. And the others say, well, we'll go with you. Willingness. We volunteer. It's our life. I want to reach people. I want to be your servant, God. I want to be your instrument like St. Paul. Lord, use me. Use me. Not a have to, not a guilt trip, but just use me because I am yours. Willingness, volunteering. And we learn when we are to fish all the time. These guys fish all night and catch nothing. And so the church can fish and fish, and at times it seems like we catch nothing. It's all in vain, we think. No, where's all the people? We try, nothing happens. The nighttime, nothing. The morning, 153 fish. God has his time. Fish all the time. Don't give up. If they'd have gave up and said, we're just going to quit, they wouldn't have caught anything. Keep fishing. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep teaching. Keep loving. God is using people. God will have his time. Sometimes we might be like Noah. Noah built an ark. How many people did Noah save in that ark? Seven besides himself. Eight in total. And that was only his family and a bunch of animals. At least the animals listened to him. Animals are something smarter than we are. But people today would call Noah a failure. He's a failure. He only saved 8 people? Noah, what kind of preacher are you? He's very, very successful in God's eyes, for he built the ark and preached. And then you have, there are times like that for the church. We preach the gospel, but only 8 are saved. We keep preaching. Then you have Jonah, and Jonah reluctantly goes to Nineveh. And in one day he preaches, repent. What happens? The entire town of thousands repent, and Jonah doesn't even like the people. He doesn't even want to go there, and yet God works to save the entire city. We'd rather be like Jonah than Noah. Usually both happen in the life of a Christian or a church. Sometimes Noah nothing, sometimes everything by the blessing of God. But we keep fishing. Where do we fish? Everywhere. They fished that Sea of Galilee. They were fishing on the left side. Jesus says, fish on the right side. If you're a fisherman, that makes no sense. Jesus, if there's no fish over here, how in the world are there going to be fish over here about 10 feet away? You didn't have it that way. There's nothing here, nothing. And now over here, 10 feet, there's going to be 153? You never know. One neighbor will not believe, but the next one will believe. One coworker won't believe, but the next person will believe. Keep fishing. And the most important lesson of all in this fishing is, who do we take with us when we fish? Jesus. At night they catch nothing. In the morning they catch a boatload. What's the difference? The difference is the presence of Jesus. At night, Jesus is not there. They are left to their own talents, their own planning, their own abilities, and they catch nothing. When the church relies on its own abilities, our own talents, our own strategies, we catch nothing. But when Jesus is there, and he's 100 yards off on the shore, and he just speaks the word, hey, throw it on the right side. By the power of that word and their faith in it, even though they're tired, they just want to quit, yet they throw the nail on the right side thinking this isn't going to work, they catch 153 because of the presence of Jesus. The disciples don't catch the fish. Jesus catches the fish. They just throw out a net. And so a lesson for the church. We want to catch fish. Teach Jesus. Don't come up with your own little rinky-dink plans and strategies. It's not by your human invention and skill and talents that you're going to attract all these wonderful people. Teach Jesus. And preach Jesus. Preach the cross. And preach the cross and the resurrection and the forgiveness of sins and show forth the love of Jesus. That's what Christians do. He draws, he fills the net. We don't do it, he does it all. So we must make sure we preach and teach Christ and him what? Him crucified and the forgiveness of sins. This isn't rocket science, folks. This is the church. This is what happens. We teach and preach who? Jesus. So my challenge before I go on to point number 2 is this. Every day of the rest of your life, tell someone about Jesus. This is not just the pastor's job and some elder's job. Every day of your life, I'm going to speak to somebody about Jesus this day. It could be your child. And it's not a have to. I want to tell someone. God, open a door that I can tell someone Jesus loves you. Jesus forgives you. One person at least every day. And then secondly, invite someone to church every Sunday the rest of your life. Might be the same person. Might be someone in your family. Keep inviting. You never know when the 153 fish are going to come in. So invite someone to church every week. Hey, come to church with me. Come hear the word. Come. They probably say no often, but keep asking. Be a little bit of a friendly nag. This is heaven and hell. It's okay to be a friendly nag. Be gentle, loving. One person you speak of Jesus to every day, one person you invite to church. There's the fishing of the church and the blessing of Jesus as he fills nets. And then there's the feeding. Fishing and feeding, continuing signs. Jesus is not merely there on the shore. He has a great breakfast for them. What a wonderful breakfast. Where'd this breakfast come from? You have fish, you have bread, you have these burning coals. It's all set up, it's all prepared. The disciples didn't do it. They're out fishing. Who did all this? Who prepared all this? It's all ready. All they have to do is come and have breakfast. That's what Jesus says. Come and have breakfast. You don't have to do anything. I don't care how you're dressed. I don't care how you smell, what you've done. Come and have breakfast. I prepared it all. That's just the point. Jesus prepares a great breakfast for his church. Come and have breakfast. And it's not fish and bread. It is his holy word. That's the bread we need. His word is the bread. His sacrament of his body and blood is a fish. This is what we need for strength and forgiveness. The disciples are tired all night fishing. They're dirty. They're worn out. They can't even bring the net of fish in. They're so tired. Come and eat, guys. I'm here to strengthen you that you might go out and fish again. This is the life of the church. We, this week, fish in that dark lake out there. We're a witness. We go to our jobs. We love our neighbor. We forgive sins. We have mercy. We speak of Jesus. We're a light in the dark world. Then we come back here for strength. Are you tired? It's hard to be a Christian in this world. You're worn out from your work, your calling, your family, your sickness. You're smelly because we all are because of our sins. We reek with sin and evil. We're part of it too. We're worn out. Come and have breakfast. Come and have what? Come and have breakfast. Hear my holy word. Take my sacrament for strength, for forgiveness, for mercy. Two things to conclude with on this eating Jesus' breakfast. The burning coals struck me. Let me say a word about it. It's mentioned there are burning coals there. And I thought, why that detail? Why this, John? Is just some meaningless detail? I don't think so. This is for Peter. Remember, Peter had denied the Lord three times. And where did Peter deny the Lord three times? Around what? Around a fire. He was warming himself by the fire. He was under the fire of temptation, and Peter failed. And what guilt Peter must have had. I denied my Lord. I'm useless. I can't be an apostle. I can't do it. I can't fish anymore. So the Lord has a fire there. A fire of grace, though, a fire of love, and bread and fish for Peter. Come and have breakfast, Peter. And he's forgiving Peter's sins here. He is saying to Peter officially, you're reinstated, Peter. You're my man. I need you, Peter. I love you. I forgive you. It's all clean. We're all good. You're reconciled. Don't carry that guilt anymore, Peter. And right after this text, you know what Jesus does for Peter, if you keep reading? He reinstates Peter to be an apostle. What's he say to Peter? You know, feed my sheep. What are you supposed to do? Feed my sheep. What are you supposed to do? Feed my sheep three times. Forgiveness. This meal is all about forgiveness. Peter doesn't just get fish and bread. The other disciples don't just get fish and bread. They get forgiveness of their sins because Christ is there. And this is what renews the church. The forgiveness of our sins renews us, strengthens us. We can't wait to go fish some more because God loves me and forgives me. What a loving God. And notice the strength, secondly, to conclude, it gives to Peter. This is shocking to me. They catch all these fish, and we're told they have so many they can't even haul it in. So you have seven men who cannot haul in this net of fish. It's so heavy, we read. And then, of course, they see Jesus, and Peter jumps off the boat. He's so excited. He runs up to Jesus. He's with Jesus. And then we read where Peter himself hauls the entire load of fish up on the shore. So earlier, seven men can't do it. And now Peter by himself hauls the entire net up. How can one guy do it when seven couldn't do it earlier? The presence of Jesus. Little miracle. This is the strength that Jesus gives to his disciples. By yourself, you can't do it. With me, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Say it with me. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. What strength he... And Peter hasn't even eaten yet. He's just seeing Jesus from afar. And he's so inspired by the love of Christ, he can pull in the whole net of fish. So with Christ's presence, I can love my enemy. With the presence of Jesus, I can forgive that person I need to forgive 70 times, seven times. I can by his strength. I can show mercy to the lowly and poor when usually I don't like them a whole lot, but I will show mercy. I will show compassion. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And I can speak of my Jesus to my neighbor or my friend. I can do it. He'll give me courage. He'll give me the words. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, who gives me breakfast. So we indeed believe in miracles. the ongoing miracles of John 21, the fishing of the church that will catch fish, the gospel works, and the feeding of Jesus to his weary, tired disciples that gives them great strength. Now we get a great breakfast, word sacrament. Let us soon go out and fish, and may God fill up our net. Amen. Let's rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess the Nicene Creed.